You hear that? That's the sound of Pepsi Zero Sugar, the better tasting, more refreshing Zero Sugar Cola. Listen to that endless pour. Pure refreshment. If it sounds this good, just imagine how it tastes. Oh yeah, so good. Pepsi Zero Sugar. Let your taste decide.
Hey Columbus, it's Bill and Jenny.
At Simple Bath & Kitchen, we're all about making your new bathroom or kitchen absolutely beautiful.
With our renovations, we can help you age in place comfortably while still enjoying a newly updated and modern bathroom or kitchen.
From grab bars to accessible showers, we know how to make your space safe and functional for years to come.
Because your home should adapt to you, not the other way around.
If you're ready to invest in your future comfort, come chat with us at Simple Bath & Kitchen.
Simple Bath & Kitchen, where our home is your home.
Stuck behind never-ending windows, all you need is a door. Searching for something to put a smile back on your face. Just remembering unusual times that can come from an unusual place. You need a partner for the ride, 'cause everybody needs a Clyde. So set your worries to the side. Pretend I got a hand I can lend, 'cause when you really need a friend, just ask. Shit 90 Shows taught me.
Shit 90 Shows taught me was not filmed before a live studio audience.
Are you ready to slay another day? So are we. Welcome back to Shit 90 Shows taught me. I'm Jess Sterling, here with my co-host, Sarah Humphrey. Sarah, how are you?
Just happy to be here. I just took my supplements and I'm happy to say I am ready to fight, but it has to be on a strict regimen. I can't go off of it or else I'll get all sweaty. I hate being sweaty.
Yeah. Riley was looking real gross. Not a great Riley episode, gotta say.
No, but I, for a mini second, thought that I was going to have to quit the podcast. And
because Riley was going to be a robot, like I said.
For a second. And I think you just infiltrated my mind. And if you were right about it, I think I would have quit, like straight up. Like, I think like I would have not been able to recover from that. And which is
I got to say, he's at least he is being altered in some way, which makes me very happy to know that I was like on some sort of a path. That
sure.
Was yeah. Somewhat even remotely correct. Yeah.
I think my quote was that was the stupidest fucking shit I've ever heard of. Mm-hmm. And maybe I shouldn't have been so judgy, but I'm very heavily Virgo in my rising. So I can't really help it. I'm just a judgy bitch at times.
So we're talking Buffy, season 4, episode 14, Goodbye, Iowa. And we're pretty much picking up where we left off. We're like, Buffy is giving the Scoobies the intel, the lowdown. Here's the situation with what happened with Professor Walsh. Riley shows up and he obviously knows something was happening with Walsh because Walsh lied to him, said Buffy was dead. But we talked about this last time, Sarah. He has a little bit of golden retriever energy. Mm-hmm. He's a little bit of a himbo. And so he's just like, no, she must have been being manipulated or coerced. She can't possibly be a baddie.
I don't think that was a bad call because there has been so many situations that we've seen in Buffy the Vampire Slayer where people are manipulated either by magic or the Hellmouth or by an entity, something supernatural. So I don't think it was necessarily a bad call. I also kind of got an understanding of Professor Walsh's dynamic with Riley, how it's kind of like a mother son sort of a thing. So I totally sympathize with Riley's struggle throughout the episode to kind of like understand that she was actually up to something nefarious, especially when there was kind of a little bit of like red flags when it came to Buffy specifically. And it's not even Buffy's fault, but like hanging out with hostile 17.
Yeah.
And keeping that from Riley. And just
I did
so
love Spike trying to be like, I'm a friend of Xander's again.
Love that accent. It's so good. And this, you know, so I remember we were questioning in season two, like, oh, is James Marsden actually British? And I think like hearing his American accent, it's a guaranteed yes, he's British because he can't do an American accent.
Yeah, Xander.
Why how like I can't do any accent besides my own. So I totally understand. I think I remember trying a British accent once and somebody said that I sounded like a dying cat. So quite just like him.
Yeah, it's really bad. But yeah, she gets caught like hanging out with Spike. He recognizes Spike for who he is this time. And I think that immediately puts Riley on the defensive of like, wait a minute. Now you have secrets you're not telling me about. Like, what's going on? Like, he so badly just wants to believe that, no, Professor Walsh was testing you. Like, and I feel like he almost gives off Buffy vibes when he's like, I have to go and figure this out. Like he's like, I'm going to solo job it. You know what I mean? Like, this is very much like a little bit of how Buffy acts sometimes, yeah. Which he's just like, I'm going to be independent. I'm going to figure this out on my own. Yeah. He has to just leave, especially because, I mean, I feel like this conversation is already awkward to have, but to have it in front of like literally all of Buffy's friends, like, yeah, it's a lot, you know, there's like four other people in the room, all of whom are on Buffy's side. So it's just like a very precarious situation to be in.
Yeah. Yeah. It was interesting seeing Riley's kind of thought process throughout the episode, like trying to get down to the bottom of why Professor Walsh would do this and then confronting or talking to his buddy about it and just being like, yeah, like Buffy said that, but it just like doesn't make sense. And then once he sees Professor Walsh has Walsh. Who's Professor Wallace? Nobody.
That sounds like someone from Dawson's Creek or maybe Felicity. I don't know.
Yeah,
I feel like there was a Professor Wallace in some show we watched.
Somebody is Professor Wallace out there.
There is a Professor Wallace.
Yes, somebody is Professor Wallace. It's Shameless. That's why.
There
okay.
you go.
Yeah. Okay. Well, anyway, so once she has died, then he starts like getting very edgy. And in addition to being edgy of like somebody that I looked up to or was a mentor of mine has died, he's also weaning off of these supplements, drugs, whatever the frick Professor Walsh has been feeding him and the other commandos. So I kind of want to stop down and talk about that because we find out from Adam and his little floppy disk, because of course.
So funny, by the way. And he had like so many of them because as we all remember, floppy disks have notoriously terrible storage.
Yeah.
So it's like, I need 17 floppy disks to explain everything.
We need like an abridged version for him. It would all go on one CD, but he needs 17 floppies. So he puts in the Riley floppy and basically he explains that in a way that Riley is also Professor Walsh's son.
Yeah.
Because she trained him how to fight, how to think, how to be a good militant officer.
She shaped your basic operating system, like kind of treating him like he's a computer. Like, yeah. She fed you chemicals to make you stronger. Like, I think definitely by the sounds of it, when he says you have a birth mother. So like, it doesn't sound like he is, you know, made by Maggie in the same way that Adam is, but she certainly was giving him some sort of medication, I assume, to make him
stronger, like, you know, to like be able Buffy. To compete with these demons. Exactly. Like yeah. Buffy. But none of them knew this, which is horrible, absolutely deplorable behavior mm-hmm. to be like drugging people without their knowledge, especially when they're putting it in their food. So like, what happens if you miss a meal? What happens if you're ill? Like, yeah. I'm just saying, like, now there are consequences.
We see because what it was looking like was essentially when people like wean themselves off of steroids or something, like, or if they're on steroids, like agitation, they started like getting sweats.
He looked super pale.
He like, looked really bad. He looked like he was getting really, really sick. And throughout the episode, I was getting more and more concerned, like, frick, like, are we going to lose Riley this episode? Because I had in my mind, it was called Goodbye Iowa. And I kept thinking, like, there's a non-zero chance that Goodbye Iowa is, I speculated that was a breakup last episode. I was like, frick, is he going to die? And if so, I have spent so much energy being a Ruffy fan. Like, how can I come out from the other side of this? Thankfully, that didn't happen, especially after he was like staked in the heart by Adam.
Yeah, he gets stabbed in the side, and we really don't know what his fate is going to be. I mean, I assume he's going to live, but they say they're taking him to a military hospital, and like, I of course, my head is spinning with like theories and stuff, because I'm now thinking, okay, he did bleed, so he's obviously human, but like, is there a potential that they've also done some surgeries on him? Like, we don't know. Yeah, like, there could be anything going on underneath his skin. Like, we don't know. So I still think there's a possibility that he's like, he's bionic in some way. Or it literally could just be meds. You know what I mean? Like, it literally could just be as simple as that. And it probably is. And mm-hmm. I think he'll end up being okay. But how do these meds work? What are these meds? Like, they're all of these other soldiers are still taking them. And, you know, like when we overhear the conversation, Buffy overhears the conversation between the doctors in the hallway. They're talking about like, oh, yeah, we found most everyone. They're all back on their meds. You know, it's going to be fine, except for Riley. Riley wasn't found. And do you think that it was the lack of meds that or do you think it was just, I don't know any of these people's names, so I apologize. Riley's bestie, his bestie, who is also in the initiative.
Yeah.
When he tells him about everything about with Walsh and Buffy, his friend is basically like, yeah, well, maybe Buffy needed to be killed. Like, maybe she's trouble. You know, like, he is very anti-Buffy. Immediately, like, to the point where he thinks Buffy killed Walsh because there's the potential that it was a stake that killed her, not, you know, we find out mm-hmm. Adam's piercy arm thing.
Yeah, I think that once again, I think it could be both, which is kind of a lame answer, but I think that I think that it's something that he probably was already thinking. I recall there being a little agitation in an earlier episode about Buffy getting like the number two commando spot mm-hmm. and he not liking that, he not appreciating that, him being put on like the B squad. So I think that this resentment towards Buffy was already there. And it seems to me that getting off of these stimulants, I also have to think that probably controls emotions and temper as well, because to be a good officer is to be somebody who is very focused on the task at hand.
Yeah, so, even keeled.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So I can imagine that going off of it just increases all emotions. So
yeah,
I kind of feel like that is probably what. It's probably a little bit of both. Like, I think that he was already thinking it, and I think that it kind of let those like walls down. But I also think that there's just like a lot of distrust, and I think that the men seem to trust their own. And especially now that Professor Walsh is dead, there's like a lot of question marks, and they didn't really exactly know who did it. Like, like you said, like, he was blaming Buffy. Like, he didn't think right away, like, oh, it probably is that like demon that escaped not too long ago. I don't know why like everybody wouldn't automatically assume that, especially
the Scoobies did, but like the initiative I feel like was definitely more they're like questioning what it was. And I think you're right. I think without the leadership of Walsh, like Riley does step up to an extent, but when he's both in bad health in terms of like his emotions are kind of all over the place. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, we see him not only like shove Buffy, but shove Willow also, like two people he shoves this episode. Obviously, I would assume, you know, I think it's safe to say that if Riley's in his right mind, he probably doesn't push either of them. I think it's the sickness kind of taking over, right? He's a little manic. But yeah, they're all just kind of left trying to figure this out. And Riley's solution is like, everyone suit up. We're going out. Like, we're going through all these crypts. Like, if they would have found Spike, they would have killed him instantly. No question in my mind, because they wouldn't have had Walsh there to say, no, keep him. We're going to experiment on him. You know what I mean? Like, they are looking for revenge. That's what they're seeking. So I thought the look into the initiative was really interesting, and getting to see this other, I don't even want to say other side of Riley, because I don't think this is like necessarily a side of Riley. I think it's more of like, you know, what happens when you are off of meds that you have developed a dependency on, you know?
I totally agree. Like, it kind of reminded me of like getting off of an antidepressant or anti-anxiety medication, or even like, I don't know, birth control. Like, your body just like is reacting to all the chemicals. Yeah. That
especially
is
cold
changing.
Turkey. Yeah. Like cold turkey, yeah. Like that is fucked. Like, I think there's no better example than that scene between Buffy and Riley, where Buffy goes to like the crime scene, which we'll talk about the little boy and everything. And she wants to apologize to Riley for earlier, like, you know, things were misconstrued. Like, I know I have some explaining to do about Spike and everything. And Riley is so combative. Like, him just saying like, well, Walsh is dead, are you happy now? Like, no, she's not happy. You know what I mean? Like, no. Him pulling a gun on a random civilian in Willie's bar, that's crazy. Like, that is not something Riley in his normal everyday life would be doing, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, totally. Yeah. I think it's just a combination of things. Like, I remember I've talked about this before on the Dawson's Creek podcast. I remember when my father had died, and of course, like, Professor Walsh is not really the mother of Riley, but a parent figure. So I'm going to make the comparison. I remember I went shopping with my friends for a funeral dress, and I remember being so agitated in that moment. And I remember snapping at my friends who were just trying to help me find something. And I remember like storming off, and I always think back to that moment and I feel so bad, because I feel like I was being so mean because they were just helping, but the emotions were just so high. And I just had to let out like this angsty energy. And I think that that's really what Riley was going through. So it wasn't the best Riley episode. Absolutely not. Like, we definitely saw a different side of him. We definitely saw him like, it wasn't great. Like, he was snapping at people. He was being aggressive. He was being really, really sweaty.
It was so gross. He was sweating so much.
Yeah, like, very distrusting of Buffy. Not the best.
I didn't really like episode, when.
But can we forgive him? Is my question.
Oh yeah, like, I don't think. Again, I do think there are things to note in this episode where, like, when Buffy goes to Willie's bar and Riley shows up. And again, these are demons. Like, I mean, I don't know. I assume there could be a good demon out there. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. But like, Riley comes in and he immediately is like, oh, you're socializing with the demons. Like, it's very, it reads as very like xenophobic and like, you know what I mean? Like, it's shades of like propaganda, like almost like, oh, he's been indoctrinated into this militant organization. And it's like, they've put these thoughts in his head. Now, granted, he's still there. He's still willingly like following along and not asking questions, which is something you should be doing. But I don't personally think that Riley is like a bad guy. I think this is like a bad situation. And I think he certainly now should be asking questions, especially after meeting Adam. But I don't think he's a bad guy. And I think that it'll be interesting to see where him and Buffy stand after this episode, because she does, like, when he gets stabbed, right? She's like, oh my gosh, no, Riley, we need to like help you. Like, she's not like immediately like, well, fuck you, Riley, and leaves. No. You know what I mean? Like,
she still has love for him. Like, she wanted to go with him to whatever hospital. And at the end of the episode, she's just like, I haven't heard from him. I don't know if he's alive. I don't know if he's okay. Like, I don't know if he has anything to hold on to. Like, she's really, really scared for him. And then, oh my gosh, the ending scene where Riley's in the hospital bed and he's clutching, I don't know what it was.
It was a bandana. It was like a bandana she had on her hair. And when I tell you that I cackled when she took that bandana off and wrapped it around the like cut on his hair.
She was triaging him or whatever it's called.
It was so silly. It was so silly. Get a band-aid, girl. Like, what are you doing?
There's no band-aid. She was just doing her best. I was like, it's so cute. He's holding on to her scarf. And it's like, he is holding on for hope because he is holding on to her. Don't you find that romantic and sweet?
No, I just thought it was pretty funny. I'm not going to lie.
Because
it's like, it's a cut on his hand. And she's like, here, take this bandana that's been on my head to cover it. Like, what? Okay.
At the end where he's all alone and has no idea if he's going to survive this or not. Or ever see
her
again.
Sweet.
Okay,
sweet.
Thank you. That's all I wanted to hear.
It's sweet.
I just wanted you to be like, it's sweet. I mean, I love love. I feel we're on a hop skipping away from love. And I hope that he gets out of there and they get reunited. And I hope
he gets detoxed. Well, like, I mean, what I'm concerned about, though, Sarah, is like if they brought him to a military hospital, like it's more likely that they're going to pump his body full of whatever those meds were again. Mm-hmm. Like, I wish he could go to a normal hospital and then detox him off of whatever the hell they have him on. I'm a little nervous for like,
I'm afraid that he isn't like the same Riley without it though. Like, what happens if he's just like, not as adorable weapons?
Because we don't know. I think it'd be a different thing if we knew exactly what he was on, but we don't know the extent to which they're altering who he is.
Yeah, or what he was like before.
Right. Because I also think that, because I remember very early on, I was like, oh, robot or time traveler or something like that. I do think there's a possibility that he's in way deeper than he even realizes, right? He says to Buffy, like, oh, I was in the military and then they pulled me for special ops. Like, I think some of that stuff could be implanted memories. You know what I mean? I think there's a chance that he has a whole ass other life that he doesn't even know about.
I know. Yeah. If that's not the case, then you should be writing Buffy, because that's an interesting storyline.
I just think it's likely, like, especially because he doesn't ask questions. Obviously, there's a personality type out there that, like, wouldn't, you know, he's just cool to go along with, you know, he's a go along kind of guy. He's a yes man. But I think, I don't know, obviously military, you take orders. I just think, like, it's a little strange. I think it's a little strange and convenient that, like, he really has no idea what's going on. And that if they were... Because you both want to promote someone who's really intelligent, but then it's also very dangerous to promote someone who's very intelligent because they might ask questions. So
true.
I don't know. And we know Walsh had like a soft spot for Riley. Like,
because
I
feel of like that she, smile.
Yes, it was only because she was like, this guy is sexy.
He's a cutie patootie.
I don't disagree.
Certified. Very certified cutie. If I never see that little smile again, I would be so sad.
Yeah. Okay, let's talk about Adam, because I want to talk about him as a villain. You know, we talked last week about Walsh and, you know, we've heard from some people like it was definitely like the actor maybe stepped away or maybe got fired mid-season. But either way, it was like a little bit contentious in terms of Walsh leaving the show. So this is obviously, we're at the inflection point, Sarah, where things have shifted and the writers have had to course correct. They were originally intending, most likely, to have Walsh be the big baddie. But now Adam is. And I want to ask how you feel like it it worked for you this episode? Like, did was it successful for you this episode?
You know, I really have to put away my initial mentality of feeling really sour about Professor Walsh being the big bad, because I think it's interesting to see a female villain. It's interesting to see she was an interesting character. So I am trying to put aside my like irritation that this is what we got versus what we could have had. So if I'm trying to put that away, I think that the episode was pretty interesting with Adam in the sense of like, you know, he's just trying to get a 23andMe subscription, you know, like he's trying to figure out where he comes from, who he is, what his purpose is. He's on a soul searching journey of like, who am I? What am I? What's my purpose? And it's like, baby boy, like we all struggle with that. We're all trying to figure that out. You're not the only one, which actually kind of makes you more human than not. So he's on an expedition. He's on the eat, pray, love journey,
oh,
right? He is on the prey journey, trying to figure out where his purpose is, what he is here on this earth to do. He runs into this little boy. He goes, little boy, I'm not here to, never mind. I just want to know what am I? Who am I?
He says, I saw the inside of that boy and it was beautiful. It didn't tell me about the world. It just made me feel. Why do I feel? What am I? Like, he's having a crisis of conscience.
Yes. Very existential. Like, I don't know what I am either, Adam.
Yeah, he says, like, I know what I am, not who I am. Okay. Honestly, like, this is, I'm going to give the show a tiny bit of credit and say this is better than I thought it would be.
Because
he's not like a killing machine. Like, he has like thoughts and feelings. He's like, he's trying to, it's very much the question, the question of like, okay, while she was making a killing machine, but she didn't understand that she was also creating a living being that would have like philosophical questions, like looking in a mirror and being like, who am I? Why does no one else in the world look like me? What am I supposed to do? I think where I get confused is like, okay, so I guess his program, I don't know what his programming is. Like, I don't exactly understand how he functions, but like, so you're trying to cut people open to see what's inside of them to try to figure out what you are? Like, I guess. Well,
he's a scientist, right? Like, how do you think that we figured out everything that we know in science today? Like, how do we know what the reproductive system is? And it's because eons ago, somebody had to cut open the body and
That's why they gave him the long stick on his arm, because so he could, it's like a, what is it called? A scalpel. It's like a scalpel.
He's just trying to cut into people. Now, of course, if Professor Walsh had more time, she would make more floppies, but
there wasn't enough time.
There wasn't enough time. She wanted to do that. She just didn't get to it. It does kind of remind me a little bit of like Edward Scissorhands. Remember when we saw that movie where the inventor made Edward Scissorhands, but like Edward Scissorhands was not socialized. Because he like had to spend like all of his time alone with his little scissor hands. So it's kind of like that. Like he's just trying to figure out what life is and like what he is. But the thing is that he did have a floppy disk for himself. So that's why he says, I know what I am, because he is part human, which we can clearly see, part demon and part machine. He is all three. And he says that he's a
I have no idea.
Okay. Yeah. He said that he's a something or other.
He did name it. And it's just
omniscient. Is that a word?
Well, omniscient is a word, he's not omniscient. I think it's interesting because like obviously the question is like, why, right? Like, why did Walsh make him? I think I've always suspected, well, it's like a military weapon. Like,
I agree with that. Why? I think that makes a lot of sense. Like,
but are they trying to make a, because normally when you'd want to make a weapon, you wouldn't want to give the weapon the ability to control itself. You want to be able to control the weapon. But maybe they were like, we want to make an intelligent weapon that can fight on its own. You know what I mean?
Well, this also reminds me of Rocky Horror Picture Show, because like, because Frankenfooter wanted to make, wanted to make like a man, and then he wanted the man to be his man, but then he has his own like thoughts and feelings as well. Like, it always, this is why I was saying, like, it always like blows up in your face, these like, I'm going to make this monster or this human, like, because they do have feelings. And that's why they say that we have to be careful about the robots. And I know I respect all robots, but like, everybody, like, the robots are going to eventually like program themselves to have feelings. So I think that I agree with you. Like, I do think that ideally they make one Adam. He is the perfect killing machine. And now we will get thousands of Adams, and now we don't have to get people like a Riley, who is just a human at the end of the day, to go into combat. And also, we don't have to like draft our sons, our husbands, our, you know, our cousins. Like, then we just have like a bunch of mishmash monster machines to do our bidding. So like, I think that that was the purpose. But yeah, I think that like the thing is that like, ideally, like, they would just be like there and bopping, but this that never happens in these stories.
Yeah, I'm at least happy that, because when Walsh got killed off and Adam like rises up, I was like, great, we're just gonna have like this unthinking, unfeeling killing machine. And so at the very least, we have a villain that like has more going on upstairs than that. So I'm like, yeah, thankful for that, because I'm still gonna say we're in episode 14 of this season. I'm still really enjoying this season.
Yeah, me too.
Like, I'm really loving it. I think it is a really fun, like, fresh change of pace to have, obviously being college, but yeah, like the addition of Anya. I feel like the show has found its groove in comedy in like a really great way this season. I think utilizing Spike, obviously he's a sub in for Cordelia, who was like really kind of carrying the burden of the comedy, in my opinion, most of the time. So I think the addition of Spike has been great. Like, so far so good. I'm really liking it, especially because there's also another mystery that like, this episode, I was like, yeah, oh no, you best not. Like, yeah. What's going on with Tara, Sarah? What is happening?
Well, I will say this, but I totally agree with you. I think that you and I, we might have to put in our tagline, like, season four's like number one fans of all time.
Yeah.
Like, I think
it's good. Like, what are we good. Doing here?
I think like, that we need like a little certificate good. On the top right, like a little sticker. Yeah. Like, I think that everybody who was judging this season was having a little sour moment. And maybe they need to check themselves before they wreck themselves. It's what I'm saying.
I can't wait to meet her. Oh my gosh.
Put your hands together for new Dr. Pepper Blackberry and Dr. Pepper Blackberry Zero Sugar.
There she is. Woo-hoo! Yeah. It's full Dr. Pepper.
With sweet blackberry flavor.
Dr. Pepper Blackberry, I'm obsessed with your succulent taste. Please marry me.
No. Marry me, or I'm gonna freak out!
Try new Dr. Pepper Blackberry.
It's a pepper thing!
Here, care has no limits. It's compassionate, personal, powerful, and provided to anyone and everyone who needs it. Here at Mount Carmel, care honors everything that makes us who we are, so that you can take the first step to a healthier, happier life. Here, exceptional care is provided by all of us for all of you. Learn more at MountCarmelForYou.com.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
Now, Tara. Okay, so we love Tara. We love her because Girly was just a little like meek thing. She just like went along with everything. Yeah. She was a witch. Everything was going good. Willow comes around. It's a really funny scene because it's just like, I don't want you to think that I only hang out with you because I want to do spells with you. And Tara's like, yeah, I know that. But also I know that you probably want to do a spell right now. And Willow's like, yes. And what Willow wants to do is summon a goddess who is in control of all of the demons. And it's kind of like a locate creature spell.
It's a locate creature spell. It's a Google Maps.
Yes.
She's summoning the goddess Thespia to help locate the demons. And what this is going to do is she needs Tara's help. They're going to do this little thing with their dust. They're going to blow the dust. And then it's going to make a mist that is like a map telling them where the demons are.
Where the demons are.
Now, unfortunately, Willow closes her eyes. So she does not see Tara.
You have to close your eyes because that's part of the spell.
Is that the rules?
I don't know. So,
But
so
Tara hides the dust.
She sweeps it under the rug.
Literally.
Yeah. Which makes me feel like, obviously, she isn't sabotaging all the spells, right? Like, they've done magic. Well, there was that
the
one
rose. Time,
the rose.
Remember, I was like, oh, Tara's innocent. I think it's a red herring. Listen, I'm going to say this again because in my heart of hearts, I don't want Tara to be bad. And so my head, my wheels are churning, you know, like they do, because I'm like, give me a way in which I can defend Tara's actions. Give me a way in which I can say she's not bad. Here's what I've come up with. What if, because when Willow says, oh, the goddess Thespia, I feel like there was a flicker of recognition in Tara's eyes. Like she knows exactly who that is. Like she knows exactly what Willow's going to want to do. What if Tara is like an Anya, where she is like a demon, but has been revitalized, has like, what is it called? What is it when you born again? She is a born again demon, you know, she's no longer demony and that she's not bad. But if she were to do the misty thing with Willow, it would show the call is coming from inside the room, you know?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I think that tracks. I do.
I don't want her to be a bad guy. Like, stop. No. Yeah.
Well, but okay. So, like, she's a demon. What is she a demon of?
I don't know. I mean, like, Anya was what, the demon to, like, take revenge against the male population?
Sure.
What if Tara, what if she's, ooh, okay. We know Tara's mom was a witch.
Yeah.
We don't know anything else about, like, her family. What if she's half demon?
Half demon.
What if a demon impregnated her mom? And so she's like, shit, I'm halvesies, and it will show up in the mist.
Okay, I like that. Yeah. But like a minor demon, like she's just like the demon of like toenail fungus. Like it's not really like that bad. Like,
but she knows she'll come up on the, it's like a pregnancy test where it's like, oh, even a little, even a blurry line means you're pregnant. She's like,
Willow, I don't want you to know that I caused fungus amongst the toes.
Yeah, because no one wants to talk about toenail fungus. Like that's really gross. She's and like, not romantic.
Actually embarrassing because like if I was like a good demon, like a good demon, like if I was like Anya is such a cool demon. If I was like that, then at least like I can say it loud and proud. But I'm the demon of something like really embarrassing, like the popcorn button on a microwave. Like she has
very lesser demon abilities and it's embarrassing.
Yeah, exactly. Like I'm like the demon of like the mechanical pencils that like always break the lead. And so Willow's brutal. Like, it is brutal. And Willow's like, oh man, I love school and I hate those pencils. And then she's like, I don't want to be with you because if you were the one that created those pencils, then I can't be with you.
Imagine being a demon of minor inconvenience where it's like, okay, you'll be able to sharpen your pencil so that it's super sharp, but then the tip will always fall out. You know what I mean? Like the demon of minor inconvenience is honestly like a great idea. But I think
Actually, you know what? That could be a D&D character. I'm going to write that down.
The Demon of Minor Inconvenience. Yeah.
I do think there is something there, though, because I don't know. I'm thinking, I'm like immediately trying to go back to every interaction we've seen with Tara and wonder, she's like, good. Okay, like, what about the gem, like the crystal she tries to give to Willow? Like, is there anything with that? You know what I mean?
Like the crystal was like all of her demon powers. And she's like, here, Willow.
Take it, please.
Take it, please. Take it from me. Like, I don't want this responsibility.
If I gift this gem, I'll no longer be a demon.
Yeah, yeah.
I just think it's a red herring that she ultimately is that. What the reason that she is like being dishonest with Willow is for like pure reasons.
I do think so too, because I think that she's pure of heart, and
she looks pure of heart, right? Like, yeah. They're so sweet with each other. I love Willow going over and being like, just to let you know, like, I really do enjoy hanging out, and I don't always just want to do spells. And she's like, okay, but you do want to do a spell, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, and it's like, we could do it. And it wasn't until she heard like what she was doing. I don't know. There's definitely something up. Like, maybe she's not even like half demon. Maybe she's like an eighth demon. Like, maybe she got like cursed by a demon, and like, you know, she thinks that like she got her powers from a demon, and that's why she's worried about it. Like, maybe there's something with like Thespia. Maybe
Thespia, yeah.
Maybe Thespia gave her the family's powers, like, or maybe like Thespia like hunted down her family. I don't know. I don't know. There's something there.
Like, there's definitely something yeah. going on. I just think it's like, I think it's going to be minor. I don't think it's going to be something that like breaks them up or is like causes such distrust that they're not able to be together.
Well, that's the thing. Like, a lot of the times when you keep a secret or you're going through something, you build it up in your head. That's like so huge that like, if this comes out, then I'm going to lose everybody in my life, or I'm going to get in like so much trouble, or I'm going to lose all my friends. And I think that a lot of the times, like, we build up these stories in our heads and it's not that big of a deal. Like, I think that, I mean, we accepted Anya, and Anya is full demon.
Oh yeah, exactly. Exactly.
I sold my soul demon. Also, Willow got offered a demon to be transformed to a demon.
Oh, do you think that, wait a minute, when did that happen? Do you think that Tara has anything to do with that?
I don't think so, but like, I think that's like perfectly possible that
I think it'll come back, but I don't think it's coming back yet, because she got like a token or something, right, where she could call on that demon.
It was basically like a business card.
Okay, well, yeah, also speaking of like demons like hiding in plain sight sort of thing, like, Buffy's freaking roommate was a demon. Like, there are demons seemingly everywhere. So I think it's possible, but I'm really hoping in my heart of hearts that she's not actually evil and it's just like a minor thing.
I realized that even though it's called Buffy the Vampire Slayer, there's kind of more of a focus, especially this season, on just demons proper and less so vampires, because aside from the first episode and then Spike, of course, like, there's not like a ton of vampires bopping around.
Yeah, Spike is really the only one at the moment, and he's not biting anyone.
Of course, I'm forgetting about Harmony, but
we haven't seen her in quite a while.
She causes no harm. She just whines.
Yeah. Oh, speaking of Spike, him leaving, and then of course, like, they're trying, the initiative is trying to find him. He ends up hiding in like the little tomb. I loved him getting a little bit of comeuppance because he decides to go to a demon bar. And it's like, bro, my guy, you've been killing these guys' friends. Like, they're not going to be happy. And they're getting, like, beat up for it. I like that there were consequences for that. Because, if you kill other demons and then go to a demon bar, they're not going to be so happy with you.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I also think it's another way for him to, like, be pushed back towards the Scoobies. Like, he really has no – he's being hunted everywhere else. He's getting beaten up everywhere else. Like, there's nowhere else. He can't join – the scum of the earth, like the demons anymore. He has to join the good side. So it's just like another push towards he just becoming another Scooby. Much to his like probably dismay, but it's
happening. Another person who's not so happy this episode is Giles, who has to spend the night at Xander's because they all decide, oh, well, this will be safer if we go here. Poor Giles has to sleep in an inflatable chair and gets woken up by Willow, Buffy, and Anya watching Roadrunner cartoons.
What do you mean, poor Giles? Like, at least he has a place to stay.
No, stop it. Okay, we are 30-something-year-old women, okay? Giles is, like, older than that. Would you want to spend the night in an inflatable chair? Because I know I wouldn't.
I had an inflatable chair. I was really proud of it. Yeah.
Yeah, they were great. It took up, like, the whole floor of my bedroom. It was so big. Like, and my bedroom was very small.
Yeah. That up? Someone has good lungs.
I'm pretty sure we had, like, a bicycle tire inflator thing. Yeah, I also just I'm forever going to be shouting out Anya because she is literally the best person ever.
Yeah.
Her not only being like Giles being like, oh, you snore. And then her being like, well, your chair was squeaking all night. Oh, and her telling Buffy, you should get a boring boyfriend like Xander, but you can't have Xander. And then later in the episode, bringing that back. 10 out of 10.
I really love all of the Anya lines. She's just so good. She's magnificent. Like, really,
it's so best. Simple, right? It's just like the very straightforward delivery that gets me. When later Buffy is like, okay, me and Xander are gonna go into the initiative because he has military experience. Love that they continue to bring that back into play. And she's like, remember what I said about Xander, you can't have him.
She's like, I don't want him. Noted.
Anya, you shouldn't be worried about Buffy, you should be worried about Xander, who's like, oh hey, to cause a distraction, let's make out.
Well,
you perv.
He's a perv.
Yeah, like, what are you? I love Buffy being like, why? I'm a scientist and you're a military guy. Like, why would we be making out? We're gonna draw more attention to ourselves, you fucking freak.
I love the costumes. Like, they really had to go
full glasses.
I love the glasses and her little bun, and she's just like, yes, I am scientist.
The clipboard. It was everything.
Yeah, all scientists have clipboards, all scientists have buns, of course.
Yeah. I really enjoyed this episode. Like, again, as much as the Adam stuff is like, oh, this kind of sucks compared to what I think we could have had with Walsh, I'm trying to roll with the punches and be like, it's really not that bad. Like, so far, it could get worse. I'm sure it will.
Keep those expectations low, and that's the happier you'll be. That's kind of like my life story, really. Yeah. I like this episode too. I liked probably like all the elements. I'm really interested in when Riley is going to be released and what he's going to look like when he's released. I'm really interested.
What if the meds made him pretty and he's an uggo?
Oh, I'm ready for that. It would be like fucking Halloween Town. When the hot guy turned out to be like a fucking troll or whatever. Ugh. I had to talk about Halloween Town the other day.
Why?
On the Everwood podcast that I'm guesting on.
Oh, okay.
And I just like fully aired out our Kimberly J. Brown beef.
So funny.
Yeah, we hate her, by the way. She's so pathetic.
It's so funny. I love
Halloween Town. Here's my Etsy shop. Fucking loser.
Anyway. All right. Anything else about this episode before we do some Cordy's Corner?
Yeah, I don't remember. I don't think so.
Okay, so Angel, season one, episode 14. Yeah. I've got you under my skin. So Sarah, I get to return the favor this week.
Yeah. So I forgot to watch the episode. Yes. I'm a busy girl.
Honestly, you weren't, to be honest, you were not missing much. The general idea of this one is, okay, Cordy has vision as always.
She's still being like,
she's in terrible pain. Yeah, she's in terrible, terrible pain.
I'm so over it. Okay, go.
She has a vision and she sees like this family. And we get like an insight into this family. And it's like the dad's an asshole, right? Like it's a mom, dad, two young kids, one boy, one girl. The dad seems like a total dick. It's like, oh, we're going to lock them in the room. So you're very much led to think that the demon is inside of the dad, but I'm too smart for that. And I immediately was like, no. It's going to be one of the kids. It's one of the kids.
Ew, it was a kid demon.
So there was a demon basically he was possessed, like, by, like, so he needed an exorcism, sort of a thing.
Oh.
So Wesley and Angel are on the move. They're the ones who are taking care of this situation. Now, interestingly enough, Cordy has decided she's going to become a baker. Not really, but she wants to make brownies. She's a horrible cook and a horrible baker. And she tries to cut through the brownies with like a normal knife, but they're not going through because these brownies are like, must be like rock fucking hard. And in the meantime, Giles has given, has gifted Angel this like massive dagger that is like supposed to help kill demons or who the hell knows. Well, she uses that to cut the brownies. Angel saves the little boy when he like sleepwalks into the street, and the mom is like invites him over for dinner. He brings the brownies. When the little boy eats one of the brownies, he gets like old man demon face. It's horrible. It's like you cross a demon with an old man and they put that shit on his face and it looks horrible. No.
So he got Benjamin buttoned.
Yes. Yes. But he's still small like him, you know, but they have to like quarantine him. Right. Because the demon is mean, and he also, it's really creepy because they have him talk with like this like really creepy deep demonic voice, and he's like a kid. But the mom is struggling with this because she's a mom and she has to be maternal, and she has to like see her baby, and they're like, you can't go in there because he's a demon. Anyway, long story short, they do end up getting the demon out of the child. But here's the thing, the whole time they're like, this demon possessed this boy. That's why he's been acting out. That's why he's a little fucking shithead. Turns out, no. The demon was helping the boy who already was a dickhead. This kid needs to be locked up because he takes a gas can. He goes into his sister's room, who's like sleeping away, having peaceful little dreams, dumps out gas.
The parents
are standing in the doorway like, no, I don't know the boy's name. Jimmy, no. I don't know his name. It doesn't matter. Jimmy, please don't. Lights that fucking match. Sets his sister's room on fucking fire.
Oh, no. Poor Jimmy's sister.
Yeah, she wakes up. And the kid, who knows where this kid's going to go, but he needs serious help.
Oh, that's, he has kind to of go the to the asylum.
Yeah, he needs to go to the asylum because turns out he was already fucked up in the head before the demon got there.
He has to go to Radley Sanitarium.
So that is what happened on Angel. It really wasn't like, oh, and of course, you know, who makes an appearance?
Jimena.
She was fine, I think. She lived.
Was fine.
But you know who makes an appearance because the child must be arrested? Boring ass Kate makes a fucking appearance, but it's only at the very end, and she's like literally barely there, so it's really not a big deal.
Okay, so the Kate got arrested. How old was Jimmy?
You know I'm not great with kids' ages. Okay, this kid definitely was in school. I would put him at like between the ages of like maybe he's like 10.
Okay.
I would say he's either double digits, like early double digits. The sister was definitely younger. Maybe she's like 8.
Okay, that's so what I was envisioning. So,
what do you think of the episode based off my retelling? It was more. I gave it more excitement than it had.
You think so? I don't know. It sounds pretty exciting.
It really wasn't that exciting. Like there was a lot of like Angel pretends to be a normal person by like going to dinner with this family, and it's really fucking weird because he's just like sitting in their kitchen. It's like fucking weird. Like why is Angel having dinner
over for dinner?
Yes, and he has to like pretend to like the food because he's a fucking vampire.
Oh, guess who's coming to dinner?
The other reason the lady really wanted him over for dinner is because she found out his name was Angel, and she's like, "Look at all these angel statues I have! Like you're an angel collector." She like thought that he was like sent from God because
me too.
he saved the kid. Anyway, that's that episode of Angel. It wasn't that great. It was fine. Like, it wasn't offensively bad like some other ones have been.
Yeah.
Not enough Cordy content, although I did find the Cordy brownie content to be very funny. So
the brownies look bad.
I mean, not so much look bad as like they very obviously were bad because when the girl ate a piece of the brownie, she immediately tried to hide it in her napkin. Mm. And when the dad ate the brownie, he like started hacking, and the show wanted you to think he's about to like exercise the demon, but we all knew it was the little boy.
Yeah.
And the parents were just trying to like control the demon, you know. But anyway.
Yeah. All right.
So that was the episode. Well,
maybe I'll check it out eventually.
You don't need to. It's fine.
Next week one. I'll remember.
Yeah. Okay. Let's get into some feedback because we do have some feedback about this episode. We got an email from Rowan with the subject title saying, why is Walsh like this?
I don't know.
I would love to know. My understanding of Professor Walsh's motivations has always been that initially, after learning that Buffy is a Slayer, she thinks she can use her to further the initiative's objectives. But then Buffy proves to be more trouble than she's worth, asking a lot of questions. Walsh is worried that Buffy is a bad influence on her special favorite soldier boy, distracting him from the mission, in all caps.
Yes.
And encouraging him to think for himself. Therefore, Buffy must be eliminated.
Yeah, I think that's the right call.
I agree. I like this, Rowan. I think that makes sense to me. Also, regarding Willow and Tara, in 2000, the network was still being not great about how far queer content could go. So the show has to walk a pretty fine line. I think they do a great job with this arc inside the boundaries they were allowed at the time. But it's definitely a lot more subtle than the kind of visual representation of a queer relationship you might see today, especially in this season. That's a really great point because we talked about Dawson's Creek and like all the first like queer kiss on television, like, and how big of a deal it was. But like, they still wrote that, like, didn't show a ton in terms of like kissing, handholding, like romantic things between people of the same sex.
Yeah, Jack definitely got less than everybody else, but also he was kind of like a side character at times,
so sometimes it was hard to read like the reasoning why.
But I'm so hopeful that we get more from Willow and Tara. I'm like hoping that's the case.
I think we will. I think it's only a matter of time. As far as the companion angel episode goes, this is one of the least good of the series, and nothing of lasting importance happens. Just a kind of ham-fisted patriarchal female genital mutilation metaphor storyline. Oh, this was last episode. Okay. That probably could have done better, but wasn't. The dancing is the only memorable part, and maybe the continuation of the gag in the end credits makes it all worth it. I listen to a lot of podcasts, but right now this is the one I look forward to the most and put the head of my queue as soon as it drops every week. Oh, that's so nice.
Makes me want to cry.
As a long, long, long time Buffy fan, I always get a kick out of your fresh takes, Rowan. That is so kind, Rowan.
Thank you, Rowan. Appreciate that.
I really love this feedback. I feel like we learned a lot here. It's really nice.
Yeah.
We also got an email from someone named Miranda, Sarah.
Oh, yes.
Apparently your sister, she has been listening since day one. So a long time. She's always excited to listen to what we have to say about Buffy as first time Buffy watchers. And she's also so glad we love Anya because apparently she is also we kind of knew she's a fan favorite in the Buffy.
Oh, I didn't know Miranda liked Anya. That's cool.
Yeah. I mean, I think Anya is one of those characters that we didn't know how much the fandom like adored her.
Sleeper pick. Yeah.
Yeah. And then she has a question for us. If you could choose any creature or monster to be or date, if we were in the Buffyverse, who would we date or be?
Ooh. Oh, but they have to be in the Buffyverse?
In the Buffyverse is what she specifies. I definitely don't want to be a vampire because like drinking blood sounds disgusting. Being a werewolf sounds like a nightmare. Yeah. Honestly, I might want to be the kind of demon Anya is because I can ruin men's lives. Like, oh my God, that'd be so great.
Going back to our headcanon of
toe fungus demon.
Maybe that's it. I mean, the chaos demon seems like my brand of demon. Curious what that's about. Just causing chaos and a little bit of ruckus.
If I'm a vampire, I could be besties with daddy vamps. So that's a good option.
Or a child of his. And as somebody that is
get that Kool-Aid mouth, baby.
Yeah.
Fruit punch mouth.
Yeah. I think that I mean, I wouldn't hate getting visions, but I don't want the migraines.
Oh, definitely not.
And I don't want to be a porcupine. That was pretty unfortunate.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of that.
I mean, honestly, it's really slim pickings. Like, there's nothing really that good.
I feel like my pick is what Anya is, with the other option being like, wasn't there an ooze demon that Drew Lulu was with at some point?
Well, she was with a chaos demon and I think she was with a fungus demon.
It was a fungus demon. Okay. I don't want to be the Fjarl demon that Giles was, where like he poops mucus or some weird, she sneezes mucus, whatever it was.
I don't want mucus. We're not mucus friends no, of mucus.
You. Yeah. Not friends of mucus here.
Yeah.
But yeah, thank you for sending in your feedback, Miranda. So thank great you. To hear from you.
Thank you.
Are you ready to hear from Joy? Joy sent us in another voicemail that we get to listen
to. Oh, yeah. Yeah, totally.
Okay, great. Let's hear what Joy has to say.
Hey, guys. It's Joy. This is my third attempt because apparently at 7 in the morning, my brain doesn't work as well. I did watch both episodes, but I did fall asleep, so I'm very tired. So goodbye, Iowa. You know, I'm not Riley, the biggest fan. We know this, but I do feel for him in this episode. His whole worldview has been shaken with everything going on with Professor Walsh and Adam and 314 and everything. And, you know, he finds out he's being drugged and we see him like progressively look worse and going through withdrawals throughout the episode, which so I thought was really done. And, you know, it's rough on him. So I do feel bad for him. But I don't love how he got like super accusatory with Buffy. And then he also got kind of physical with her. I'm not a fan of that, but she's tough. She's Buffy. She can handle it. It was more like, don't put your hands on your girlfriend, dude. But you know, he was going through withdrawals. So maybe a tiny pass. I do love Spike with his, I'm a friend of Xander's. That's hilarious. And Anya, you should get a boring boyfriend like Xander, but not Xander. You can't have Xander. So Cordy's corner. I've got you under my skin. No bugs, Sarah, you're safe. Just a typical demon possession. I liked the twist where it was the boy instead of the father. Well, the first time I watched it, I thought it was probably going to be the, sister. That would have been a fun twist. But then the real twist is that Aethros demon was like, I lived in this hell. Like, there's nothing in that boy. So the boy was the true evil, I guess, not the Aethros demon.
Yeah.
And he was like, you know what? You can kill me. I don't even care. Anything's better than what I've had to deal with. And I thought that was really quite clever. The whole thing with Wesley where he, you know, he tries to do the exorcism. And then we find like a little tiny bit of stuff about his father was pretty interesting. Bringing up Doyle was pretty sad, but it's showing.
Oh, yeah.
I think that there's going to be a shift where like Wesley is not just going to be part of the group. He's going to be part of the family. So we'll see. Okay. I guess that's it. Next time. Bye.
Okay, so it sounds like I should watch it. I might watch it.
I forgot to talk about the Doyle stuff. So there's one moment where Wesley and Cordy are fighting and Angel says like, stop it, Cordy and Doyle. And he like mentions Doyle and then they all get like a little sad because Doyle's dead.
He accidentally calls Wesley Doyle.
Yeah.
Oh,
because he's so used to like Doyle being around. It's like very sad. Yeah. I don't remember the Wesley dad lore. But I probably just like was not paying attention during that moment or something. Wesley had a lot of like silly moments in the episode. We also got a second voicemail from Joy, which I'm gonna play. I don't know if this is additional information. We're just gonna play it.
Well,
see what happens
if it's one of her duds?
It's not, because it's only 30 seconds.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so I tried it 3 times and I just could not get it all into one voicemail. So this is literally just to say, Jessica, I think Cujo reminds you of Benji, that that kids movie with the little shaggy dog, and like I think he scares a bear away, and there's like he's like frolicking in the woods or something. Yes. I don't know. He reminds me of Benji, so I'm thinking maybe that's what you were thinking. If not, then I don't know how to help, but. That's it. Okay. Sorry. You guys are great. Keep up the good work. And until next time. Bye.
Joy is exactly right. This is exactly the dog I was thinking
little
of.
Little Scruffeton. He's so
little
cute.
Scruffy Scrufferson.
So cute.
Yes. Thanks, Joy, for reading my mind.
Joy has all these cats in this one picture.
Do you not remember that?
3, 4. Okay, I gotta be honest with you. I'm like so locked out of our email, and I didn't realize that you sent me the pictures until. So the whole time I was like, "Oh yeah, the dogs are so cute."
I was surprised you didn't bring up the kittens.
Because like I didn't realize you had sent me the pictures. Like I was like waiting for you to send in the chat in StreamYard.
Yeah.
So I was just like, I didn't mean to phone it in, but I was just like, I don't know what these animals look like, but I assume that they're really cute. Mm-hmm. But I didn't feel the cats. She has 5 cats in this picture.
They're the kittens that she mentioned previously. Yeah.
I played with another cat this week and it was so good. I'm just loving my cat time.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I've gotten locked out of the email.
It's fine.
I can't figure it out.
I think that's all the feedback we have, but if you want to send some in, shit90spod.com or shit90spod@gmail.com is the way to do so. Are you ready to hear what the episode of Buffy is for next week? What the title is?
Yeah.
Season 4, episode 15, This Year's Girl.
Okay, I have a question.
This Year's Girl. Yeah.
I think it's a part one and a part two. Have you heard about
it? I have not.
Okay.
All of part ones and part twos, I have weighed in with one of our Buffy specialists to make sure that we're doing them correctly.
Next episode of part one and two. And if so, do we need to watch both next week? Okay. Let's go talk about something while I consult the other people.
Okay. The Angel episode is called The Prodigal. Like the prodigal son. Also, I'm fairly certain, just because when I googled just to find the name of it, the screen grab shows Angel looking like he's back in time. I think we're gonna get more Angel human backstory.
Yay.
So that should be fun.
Okay, well,
one other thing, I cannot believe I did not bring this up yet that we need to talk about while we're waiting to hear about waiting to hear about if we're watching two episodes. I need to talk about this poster that I saw behind Riley when he was talking to his bestie in the initiative. Yeah. They have a poster, and I am sharing it on my screen if you want to look at it on our YouTube channel. And while you're there, you might as well subscribe. There's a poster that says the word balls.
Yeah, of course.
With a period after it. Yeah. And then there's a golf ball that's labeled golf, a baseball that's labeled baseball, and so on and so forth. And at the bottom, it says, too bad there are only two that, is it matter? No, count. What is the word? What is it?
Count.
Count. Yeah, there are only two that count. Is this like a testicle joke?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Why would you hang this up? What is this?
It's just for the balls. I don't understand what the problem is.
This is the most ridiculous fucking poster I've ever seen.
Throw balls. He loves balls.
And he does have a basketball hoop up above it, so I suppose he does.
Oops.
But like, what are we doing here? And you could buy this poster apparently on Redbubble if you so wish.
Oh yeah, maybe I will.
Let's see how much it is. Oh wow, it's only $7. Oh, that's for an 8x10. If you want a really tiny one.
I really don't want that. All right, nobody's answering me. So far, unless we're told differently, we're only going to watch one episode.
I'm pretty sure we're only watching one because I'm pretty sure our friend Todd, the librarian, at the very beginning of the entire series, was like, "Here are the ones you should watch separately, and here are the ones you should watch together." But if things change, we'll let you all know. But for now, we're just watching one, and that'll be next week.
Yeah. Seems as though Todd the librarian is really silent now.
It's quiet in the library. He can't be
quiet in the library.
This is Jess from the editing room. We are going to be covering both episodes next week of the two-parter. So season 4, episodes 15 and 16, This Year's Girl and Who Are You? We did consult our behind the scenes people, and that is what they advised us to do. So that's what we're going to do. So just wanted to send in this quick little edit so that you're aware what to watch for next week.
Okay. Anything else, Sarah, that you would like to share with the class?
No, I'm going to be on the Everwood episode on Whirlwind Podcast next week. So on Monday when it, it comes out on Saturdays. So on Saturday when it comes out.
Great.
Check
it out.
One Indescribable Podcast specifically.
Yes, on Whirlwind Podcast. One Indescribable Podcast is covering Everwood. It's a fun show. You should check it out. It's Lindy's favorite.
Favorite show of all time, yeah.
That's all we have for you today. So until next time, here endeth the lesson.
Just ask. Shit 90 shows taught me.
Hi, it's Jenny and Bill from Simple Bath and Kitchen. If you're anything like us, you want to be able to trust a company while getting a great value.
That's why at Simple Bath and Kitchen, we focus on what really matters. You, value that's not hidden, and a team you can trust.
With designs that are tailored to your needs and honest, upfront pricing, we make your dream kitchen or bath attainable.
Discover the team Columbus has trusted over the last 15 years.
Simple Bath and Kitchen, where our home is your home.
SimpleBathAndKitchen.com.
I can't wait to meet her.
Oh my gosh.
Put your hands together for new Dr. Pepper Blackberry and Dr. Pepper Blackberry Zero Sugar.
There she is! It's full Dr. Pepper!
With sweet blackberry flavor!
Dr. Pepper Blackberry, I'm obsessed with your succulent taste. Please marry me!
No! Marry me! Marry me or I'm gonna freak out!
Try new Dr. Pepper Blackberry.
It's a pepper